area is the center of innovation and technology. It's also where labor trends tend to emerge first. Email was predicted to die off when instant messaging started to become mainstream. So how's that working out? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton sits down with an executive from Robert Half, an international talent placement agency, to discuss emails versus IMs. And we check on the overall talent wars. That conversation starts now.
Hello there. Welcome back and thanks for listening. So Inc.com wrote an article in 2015 espousing that email would be dead by 2020. Just below that Google search result is a link to emailisnotdead.com. Our guest this week has data that show email is alive and well, especially for workplace managers. And let's be honest, if the boss wants it done that way, that's the way it's going to get done.
Video conferencing hasn't caught on as much as we thought it would, because it really didn't even make it into the top four.
A senior vice president at Robert Half, Heather Johnston, came into the studios to share a new report about in-office communications, where things might be going, and we veered into salary negotiation tips and potential perks. So here's our chat.
Heather Johnston, senior VP.
Thank you so much. Coming back in from Robert Half. We're going to get a pulse of a labor market eventually. But for this conversation, we're going to talk about being efficient and communicating in the office, right? And you guys always have such great data. So we asked you to come in. Thanks again. You talked to San Francisco CIOs, chief intelligence officers?
Yes.
Okay. I am of a certain age. I'll admit it. I am a Gen Xer and I'm addicted to email kind of thing. But I'm an email completionist. Are you like that too?
What's an email completion?
Well, like I don't like all those bold, this just in emails. I try to clear them as quickly as I can. But my wife is the opposite. She has like literally like thousands of unread emails in her inbox. I have to get them done or I can't go to bed.
Oh, I have hundreds.
Oh, my God.
I think most of us have hundreds of emails.
Oh.
So by the time I'm, 8 o'clock, I've got a couple hundred to respond to.
And we're not even talking about IMs on top of emails. Yep. This is just emails.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about your survey because you guys got under the hood on this about how people communicate in the office. And let's start with the beginning. Okay, your number one question was really good. Which of the following is the most effective method for communicating daily? And what came in number one?
Email.
There we go. Okay.
So, yeah, 73% of CIOs said that they prefer to communicate with their teams via email. But then their workers said 53%.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a major disconnect.
It is, because most of the workers are using things like instant messaging or internal communication methods.
Like Slack?
We use Slack, Google Hangout, a Yammer, which is like a internal Facebook.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
We've seen more and more of that, but the CIOs aren't really catching on to the instant messaging as much as their workers are.
Right.
They still prefer the email.
I wonder if that's for archiving purposes, because when you're a manager, sometimes you want a paper trail on everything you do.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, because I know at previous jobs, I always made sure, and I never liked clean emails unless I requested a clean email. And I'm noticing that that's not trending anymore either. So maybe I'm just pricing myself out of the market a little bit. But IMs, I've had to manage teams of freelancers via IM as well. Not a great record keeping, but it is instantaneous.
It is. And so we surveyed about 2,500 CIOs from across the U.S. and metropolitan markets. But I will tell you, San Francisco, most of them are using more instant messaging compared to Seattle, New York, some of our other big cities.
Really?
So there is a trend in us using more internal systems. And maybe that's just because some of those companies are here.
That's a great point. I was going to say
Google, like, you've got Slack, you've got Salesforce.
Right. And the install rate for a lot of that. And it's very mobile. IM's very mobile friendly. So it could be some of that saturation, like you said.
Right. And it's just the etiquette that goes behind it. I mean, you need to make sure that you're not IMing someone that doesn't want to be IM'd. There's a lot of people that keep that on do not disturb or away from desk.
Right. Right. I leave my, I'm trying to remember what mine is. I'm looking at it. And, I leave mine up. It just says it's complicated. I haven't read, but it's, which means you can ping me if you have to, I guess.
That sounds like an online profile.
Right.
Relationship
status. It kind of is because, with the gig I have, sometimes I'm available, sometimes I'm not, but I don't want to miss something.
Right.
Right. So what about email overall? Is it survivable? I mean, we've been predicting the end of email since it started, really.
No, email's going to be around. I mean, that's what they're saying. People choose to use email as their first way of communicating. Next would be in-person meetings, and that's for more collaboration. And then it's to instant messaging. And then last, phone calls.
Phone calls, last.
Last.
Does that include video calls, or did you parse it that way?
So it was just phone calls.
Okay.
Video conferencing hasn't caught on as much as we thought it would, because it really didn't even make it into the top four.
Wow. Okay. Because I've spoken with a couple of other labor experts, and they say that they see FaceTime as a good way to manage remote employees.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's okay.
And we use Google Hangout for those types of things. But it's prevalent here in San Francisco, not as much across the United States.
Okay. So email, still preferred, but the gap is getting wider between generations, really.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what about organizations totally? Are they preparing for this? I mean, are you seeing not just the employees saying, I would rather have IMs? Are organizations changing the way they do this?
They're having to. I mean, I know internally at Robert Half, we've got a couple different ways of talking to each other. So different groups have different instant messaging systems. Like, for example, one of my teams uses Slack and the other one uses Google Hangouts. And it's just really what they prefer to use. And I'm thinking of the teams, it is a generational thing.
Okay. I'm guessing the Google Hangouts crowd is a little older.
That'd be me.
Me too.
And I get these messages all the time from Slack. Heather, there's a message for you on Slack.
Right.
How do I get to that?
Right. I just adjusted to Slack last year, and I have to say that it was really more powerful than I thought it was going
to
be.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. And especially for sharing documents that are in draft forms, because you can keep your draft revisions a track of very easily without having to reslug them and stuff
right.
like that. Right. Okay. So let's say phone calls. Why is that? And you're just anecdotally, I mean, why phone calls? Just to interrupt him?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you get a call on your cell phone, and you don't know the number, you're probably not going to answer it. If you get a call on your desk phone, how many of us have even desk phones anymore?
Right.
I don't.
That's true.
Right.
It's BYOD.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't even have phones at home. Most of us don't have desk phones. The way that we communicate is through mobile. And it's just much easier if you're sitting in front of your desk to respond via email. And it's on your time.
Right.
Remember, when you pick up a phone call, it's on their time.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can respond back to email or an instant message anytime.
Everybody prefers opt-in.
Opt-in.
Right.
Yep.
You mentioned something that I'd like to stay on for a second, and that's the mobile use. And I said off the cuff, BYOD. How are companies still developing programs around BYOD? If we're not going to have desk phones, are we being compensated for using our plans on our mobile for business?
You absolutely are. A lot of candidates will go into job interviews and say, what is my mobile reimbursement? And most companies are reimbursing those.
Okay.
You know, the monthly fee, maybe it's a $50 towards your monthly bill, $100, or completely the company is providing a mobile phone. Most companies are moving in that direction of actually providing a mobile phone.
That can be, but then you have to carry two phones.
You have to carry two phones.
I hated that at NBC. I did. Because I like the iPhones, and they refuse to pivot. Now I understand they give out iPhones, which is fine. But then you still have two silos of data. You don't necessarily want to share your personal life with your manager.
Right. And so if you do have a personal phone that you add your company information onto, the problem is with that also, like mine, is the security.
Yeah.
And the data.
Right.
Right?
And then you talk about non-disclosure ideas and maybe security breaches. And
right.
Any endpoint along that line could be breached.
Absolutely.
You know, while we have you here, just, and this is kind of off notes a bit, but just in a macro way, since the workplace itself is changing and we're using mobile more, they have another this. Are there any other, I don't want to say perks, but any other creative solutions that businesses are having to adapt to when it comes to getting the talent that they want? Because there's still a talent war, I understand.
There's absolutely a talent war.
So what can they offer to help them stand out with candidates?
You know, we did see a wave of companies allowing candidates to work remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 2 years, we've actually seen companies pull that back, and they want their employees in-house. They want them working together in that collaborative nature. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about, you know, Google Hangouts and Skype and Link and those types of things where you can communicate with each other, still CIOs prefer their employees to work together in person.
Right. It says here in your surveys, 25% say in-person meetings are the most effective communications.
The most effective for collaboration and ideas and brainstorming and things like that.
You know, that might work if you lived someplace that wasn't as traffic heavy as the Bay Area or Los Angeles or New York. To me, I'd have to push back and say, I think video conferencing is fine for that.
I do too. Yeah, we see a lot of that here in San Francisco.
Right, because it's hell getting back and forth across that bridge.
Right.
Or up and down the peninsula.
More times than not, I'll just send someone a Google Hangout invite.
Right. Well, you never send me one, so thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
That was Heather Johnston. She's a senior vice president at Robert Half. Robert Half is an international talent placement agency and recruitment firm. The company has also access to hundreds and hundreds of C-level executives. And Robert Half likes to opinion poll them, so we like to have Heather in to help us make sense of it. For links to Robert Half's data, research, and services, look for the story that goes with this week's show at kgoradio.com/techonomics. It's all in there. Coming up after the break, the patent wars are back. Apple and Samsung prepare for more courtroom drama.
She is not someone that you can push around. You know, I spent literally hundreds of hours in her courtroom over the past 5 years, and you know, I've really come to admire her style from the bench.
Decisions on patents can lead to more than just billions in fines. It can lead to a burnished or a tarnished public perception, especially for tech companies. Apple versus Samsung is next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.